locker room. He gets to the 50. He gets to midfield. He gets to the 40. What an athletic display by Trey Ford.
He's magic. He is the magic man of the Canadian Football League right now.
He's got a line to the net. He'll come in. The shot scores!
Edmonton's home for great stories, local heroes, and everything you need on the Oilers and Elks. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins, brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
4 liters of vodka, that's what we call a small order on this show. Let's check out what's going on around the National Hockey League. Busy night. Third period, Panthers lead the Senators 2-0. Hurricanes up 2-1 in Boston. How about this? The Canadians lead the Flyers 6-0 in the first minute of the third period. It has gone south for Philadelphia. Maple Leafs up 3-2 on the Devils. Islanders leading the Rangers 3-2. Lightning and Blue Jackets in a 2-2 tie early in the third period. After one, Buffalo leads Dallas 2-1. Early second period, Jets with a 3-1 cushion on the Predators. Later, Wild at Avalanche, Kings at Ducks, Coyotes at Tentacles. The Flames take on the Sharks. I can also tell you the Capitals lead Detroit 2-0 almost halfway through the third period. Alexander Ovechkin has scored his 30th goal of the season. He now sets a new NHL record for most 30-goal seasons with 18. Who was he tied with coming into tonight? We're going to give somebody a Canned Ham t-shirt for giving us the right answer on the CertainTeed hotline, 780-496-0063. The hotline presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. So coming into tonight, Alexander Ovechkin was tied with who for having 17 30-goal seasons? Ovechkin has now passed this person with 18 30-goal seasons. So give us a call. You got to answer it live on air. You obviously got time to think about it or look it up, unless somebody's calling right away because they know right away. Baseball tonight, top of the seventh. The Blue Jays lead Seattle 5-1, so they're trying to win their second straight home game there. And the Raptors playing their final home game of the season. And, I guess they've won their last couple, but probably not tonight. 118-102, the Pacers lead the Raptors with about 7:48 left in the fourth. The scoreboard update for Cougar Paint and Collision, our family helping your family for 40 years. All right, 780-496-0063 if you want to take a crack at the trivia question. So sometimes we do trivia texting. This one is vocal. You have to call in and give me the answer. We'll talk Oilers as well. Of course, no McDavid. Well, for how long? We don't know. probably not very long. I doubt he plays tomorrow, even though Chris Knobloch said we'll see, and he is day-to-day with an injury. But I kind of get the sense is, you know, give him the game off tomorrow, and then we'll see about Friday and maybe Saturday. I know Bob was projecting or speculating that perhaps he comes back to play Vancouver on Saturday, which would be, I think, one of their bigger games remaining, even though it's kind of unlikely they're going to catch Vancouver for first in the division at this point. The Canucks 5-up on the Oilers. They have 4 games left. The Oilers do have 6 left, and Edmonton fairly comfortably in second place. A 6-point lead on Los Angeles with a game in hand, and a 7-point lead on Vegas with a game in hand. So the Oilers aren't completely locked into second, but likely, so I don't think it's incredibly vital that McDavid plays through even what sounds like a very minor injury. I guess the thing I think about is maybe fans whose, you know, tickets aren't cheap spent money on tickets to go to the game hoping to see Ovechkin in person tomorrow, or Ovechkin, see McDavid in person tomorrow against the Golden Knights, and now they might not be able to. But you can tell me how you feel about it, but we'll start with Tim for the trivia question. Tim, so Ovechkin now has 18 30-goal seasons. Who did he share 17 with?
How about Mike Gardner?
Yeah, that's a great guess. You remember Gardner?
Yes, I do.
So he played. Now, I remember him mostly as a Capital. Did he wind up on the Leafs? Was he one of those guys that wound up on the Leafs?
He was flipped for Glenn Anderson, actually.
So Mike Gardner, I brought him up. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how old you are. He played for a team in the WHA called the Cincinnati Stingers.
Cincinnati Stingers with Mike Liut and Mark Messier.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. And then he was Capitals for about a decade, 2 years in Minnesota. Oh, I forgot. He was on the Rangers. Got traded. So he was with the Rangers team that won the Stanley Cup, but he got traded.
He was traded for Glenn Anderson. And he did not get the cup.
Right. Yeah. So that's what you were referring to. And then I forgot. Do you remember what team he went to for the final 2 years of his career?
Oh boy. No, I thought he was a Leaf. I don't know.
He went to Phoenix. From 96 to 98, and his final 30-goal season was with the Coyotes.
That's fantastic.
Now, the thing I remember about Gardner, I'm sure he scored other ways, but remember he was fast, and he would come down the right wing and blow that slap shot to the far corner.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, Tim, you're a very knowledgeable man. I don't know if you're at all interested in Canned Ham T-shirts, but you have won one, so Kellen's going to take your info down, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, that is Tim, 780-496-0063. So Mike Gardner was a Capital. In March of 89, he was traded to Minnesota along with Larry Murphy for Dino Cicerelli and Bob Rouse. Then in 1990, he was traded from the North Stars to the Rangers for Ulf Dahlin, future considerations, and a fourth-round pick. Then that trade in March of 91, he was traded for Glenn Anderson, Scott Malone, and a fourth-round pick. And then eventually the Leafs traded him for a fourth-round pick in 1996. So there's everything you want to know about Mike Gardner, who played, including playoffs, a little over 1,560 NHL games, and he played 81 in the WHA, so quite a career. All right, so that was Mike Gardner. Kellen, let me know when you're ready.
I am ready.
Okay, Tim's got his shirt on the way.
He does,
gonna come
yes.
Pick it up. All right, so everybody else who phoned in, that's called. If you want to stay on the line, if you want to talk McDavid and the Oilers, then just stay on the line or call back in. Chris Knobloch commented on who makes the decision for when McDavid will indeed return.
It'll be in Connor's hands. He'll make the decision on how he feels. We don't know how bad the injury is, and we don't know how early he can come in. He has the best feel of what's best for him. And obviously, we're looking long-term, and we're being protective, but he knows how he feels, and we'll have that discussion with him tomorrow morning, and then we'll find out, you know, is this a game that we should have you playing in? And, you know, he might say yes. He might say no. I need another day or two, and we'll decide that.
All right. So nothing, no commitment there from Knobloch about when he plays. Again, just kind of wait and see. But I think one of the things Knobloch, of course, you want to win, but that he has to worry about down the stretch here is managing players and trying to keep them healthy.
Sometimes players not going 100% and he's not aware and he gets hit, or, you know, he's pushing so hard that he puts himself in a vulnerable position. As a coach, you have no control over that. And, you know, if we were playing the last two games of the season and if those games didn't mean anything, you know, it's easier taking guys out. But, you know, you also, as a coach, you always want your team to be ready for the playoffs and not take a step back. And it's a very difficult situation on how hard you push and how badly you want to win, and also protecting your team and preparing it for the playoffs.
All right. So Draisaitl also commented on balancing winning and health.
We want to continue putting up points, continue to win, and you know, give ourselves a chance at winning the division. And that being said, obviously you don't need to exhaust anybody going into game one, just because you have a chance at you know, finishing first. But we got a lot of smart people in the organization, so sure we'll make the right decisions.
All right, yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine. And they only have so many options, right? With extra players or guys they can cycle in and out of the lineup. But we also talked to Zach Hyman today. I know this is a few days ago, but I wanted to ask him on that, about that Bouchard slapper to the foot that he took in Calgary.
faster.
Better than one off the face. he's got a great shot, and it wasn't. He's really, really accurate. So it actually ricocheted off of something, and then I got the brunt of it. But lucky, no worse for wear, and feeling good.
Now, of course, Hyman was a little shaken up on the play and needed a little bit of help getting off the ice. I asked him how concerned he was after getting hit with the puck.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, my leg went numb. So usually when you hit your around your foot area, there's a lot of nerves there. So if it's hard enough, your foot kind of dies. And then you got to wait for the pain to wear off or the feeling to come back. And then you can kind of test out the damages. So I was fortunate, just a bruise.
All right, so just a bruise, so Hyman is fine. He'll be ready to go tomorrow night. Also for the Oilers today, Dylan Holloway practiced. He was called up from Bakersfield, heard Bob chat. So if Dylan was on Oilers Now yesterday, turned out he was at the airport getting ready to come to Edmonton. Holloway, who had a hat trick over the weekend with the Condors, talking about what he worked on in Bakersfield.
Yeah, the time in Bakersfield's good. It's a good team down there, a lot of good guys. So, you know, they made it very very welcoming. So I thought as far as play goes, I was playing pretty good. The team was doing good and clinched playoff spots. So, yeah, I think it was pretty good.
All right, so there we go. That is a little bit from Dylan Holloway, and we'll see where and if he's in the lineup tomorrow night against Vegas. A bit of an unusual start time, 6:30 tomorrow for a home game at Rogers Place, so the face-off show will be at 5 o'clock, and Bob will have Oilers Now starting at 3:30. So I'm just wondering, 6 games in 9 days, we're very lucky in oil country to be able to watch Connor McDavid. I know a lot of people watch every game. I cover every game. A lot of people, if they can't watch, they follow, they get highlights, they listen in our audio vault, all that kind of stuff. Like, are you thinking, just rest the young man? Like, who cares? Even if it's like the most minor injury ever, just keep him out. Or are you thinking like, yeah, you know, any day, any chance to watch Connor McDavid is a good day, and it's a bummer he's not going to play. I'm just wondering which side of that fence you're on. You can chime in with that, 780-496-0063, or anything else Oiler-related that you would like to discuss. Back in a couple minutes, Inside Sports on Ched.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta's precedent-setting injury lawyers.
Okay. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. 5-1 Blue Jays leading Seattle. That is in the bottom of the seventh. If you miss it off the top, Ovechkin scores to get his 30th of the season. The trivia question, Tim was the winner. Who was Ovechkin tied with 17 30-goal seasons? And it was Mike Gartner, who we were going through the list, did it with several teams. So Tim gets the Inside Sports Canned Ham T-shirt. We will have, very excited to talk to Adam Scorgi after the 7:30 news, local filmmaker, producer, executive producer, the latest film, Breaking Olympia, the Phil Heath story. So, I mean, you've heard Adam on the show before. Ice Guardians, Making Coco about Grant Fuhr, did the movie about Danny Trejo, the Dolph Lundgren one. We've talked about that before. He's done some incredible stuff, documentary, Edmonton guy. And now the latest one is about Phil Heath, who has been Mr. Olympia 7 times and who Rob and I got to interview at the Oilers game on, was it Friday or Saturday he was there? I think he was at the Friday game. He is a very muscular gentleman. I don't know if you knew that, Kellen. These Mr. Olympias tend to be quite muscular.
Oh, yeah.
So, really cool. And the thing I love about Adam is, where do these ideas come from? How do you start making the film? How do you sell it? Why do you think people are going to watch? All that kind of stuff. He always has, because for me, I like behind-the-scenes stuff, and I like movies. I like cinema, so I like hearing about this kind of things, and I think documentary is such a pure form of storytelling and filmmaking. Anyway, he's going to get into that, and we got a great story about the U of A football team, too, that we'll dive into in the next half hour. All right, 780-496-0063. Kellen, what do we have, my friend?
Hey, a couple of messages in for you tonight on the text line. We'll give the starting batter, starting lineup honors to Jason, who texted in and says, this is a no-brainer. Would rather have second and a healthy McDavid than first and a hurt one going into the playoffs.
Yeah, like, I guess here's the one thing. It's about the playoffs. It's about the cup. I guess perhaps I just have a fragile old heart. I feel a little sad for the people who bought tickets to specifically see McDavid live tomorrow. Maybe somebody's come to their first Oilers game, something like that, a kid going with parents or whatever, and now McDavid's going to be out. I guess that would be a little bit of a bummer, but big picture here, you want the Stanley Cup. You need McDavid totally in good form for the start of the playoffs. And again, this doesn't sound like an injury that's going to keep him out for the rest of the regular season. So, like Bob was saying, maybe he misses tomorrow. We see about Friday. Maybe he misses Friday against Arizona, comes back and plays the Canucks on Saturday. It sounds like that's kind of the severity of it.
Yeah, and Michelle on the text line echoes those same thoughts. Reed says, I'm choked. I only get to go to one home game this season, and unfortunately it's tomorrow night, and I am a huge McDavid fan, but I understand if he's unavailable tomorrow. Such is sports. That's from Michelle.
Well, and I guess that's the bottom. You buy tickets for a game, you never know who might be in or out, and I suppose especially late in the season, because you could have, I know it doesn't happen as much in hockey, players getting rested, or you go to a football game, maybe your quarterback's coming out halfway through the game or after the first quarter, things like that. So, yeah, fair enough. So, again, a little bit of a bummer if you're not going to get to see McDavid play live tomorrow if you're going. But the bigger picture here is you want the cup. You want to go as far as possible in the playoffs. So a healthy McDavid. And we, I think we shouldn't really complain about injuries for the Oilers this season, because they have been unbelievably healthy. I just did something wrong there, Kellen. I hate the word unbelievable.
They have
been exceptionally healthy. It's not unbelievable that they would be healthy.
You can't believe this.
It's somewhat unlikely that they would have so few injuries this season. So Ekholm, what, missed a game, was maybe slowed a little bit. McDavid missed a couple games. I mean, you've had, I think Draisaitl was sick for a game. I think Hyman was sick for a game. Did Nugent Hopkins miss a game? He might have, but it's nothing lingering, nothing long-term. And I got to admit, it crossed my mind on Saturday when Hyman got hit with that puck. I was like, oh, my God, is this how it's going to happen? The 50-goal guy is going to get a foot injury on friendly fire, you know, in a game against a non-playoff team with a week and a half left in the regular season. But thankfully, it wasn't that. Though, you heard Hyman's description kind of goes numb when you start to think, okay, how bad is this? But, yeah, it's been not unbelievable, because it's believable, but it's been remarkable that the Oilers have suffered so few injuries this season. I got to have an unbelievable jar, like a swear jar. If I say, I don't think I do it that often. I think I'm pretty careful about not saying unbelievable.
One more quick one. Reed, one more quick one before we break here for news. David texts in and says, it's a fool's errand to run down Vancouver after the start. Let him rest.
Well, and I agree. Like, I've kind of been, maybe I've been a little too pessimistic, because if Vancouver had lost last night, it would have been 3 points, but they didn't. I've always kind of been like, yeah, I don't think they're catching Vancouver. Like, I don't think Vancouver's, and I know it was 9-10 points a couple weeks ago, but I've always kind of been like, that's a lot of ground to make up. Like, Vancouver just has to play a little bit better than mediocre and they'll be fine. So, all right. Yeah, game coming up tomorrow. We'll dive into the movies when we get back.